Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, everyone. Good day to you. Good evening, afternoon, morning, wherever you are in your day. Thank you for joining me. This is Molly McCord, and this is Conscious Cool Chic Radio, where twice a week we talk about astrology. And in today's podcast, we're talking about the weekly energies of December 12th through December 19th. The sun is currently at 20 degrees of Sagittarius. And we have 9 degrees left in Sag before we shift into Capricorn. And so we always have these months that start off with one energy and end in another. And December begins very festive and celebratory. There are the holidays throughout the month. Happy Hanukkah, Merry Christmas, Happy Kwanzaa. And then we move into the seriousness of Capricorn, and we focused on what really matters this year. We understand that we accomplished some things. What were the results? What are the realities of our lives, of our finances, of our overall sense of happiness and satisfaction? And then that Capricorn energy is also where we begin the month of January. So we always move through these thresholds every month. And that's good to be aware of, and how the energies can feel as you move through your life, and of course as the energies move around your natal astrology chart. So right now, not only do we have the sun in Sagittarius, but we also have Jupiter in Sagittarius and Uranus in Aries. I'm going to talk about the Jupiter in Sagittarius journey in today's story time. And I'm actually going to cover it for the next 2 years into 2020. We're going to have story time about Jupiter in Sag and what that's about, what that energy is, and then how it's going to both expand and restrict as we go forward over the next few years. And I also want to talk about a significant energy shift that happens this month, because we have 4 outer planets all moving on and leaving behind territory that they have covered for the past year or year and a half. This is significant. So I'm going to talk about this too, because there's a real changeover energy in December. And maybe you've already been feeling it. It's typical to feel it this time of year anyways, as we end one calendar year and begin the new year. But astrologically, it's interesting, because we have these planets that have been going back and forth in your chart in very specific areas. They've been covering a small number of degrees, and now they're moving away from that. This is meaning something's truly completing this month. There's an energy that's been phasing out, and I've talked before about how you could even be impatient with it or frustrated or saying, I really wish this would have turned a corner by now. But December is the month when it's going to turn a corner. So I'm going to talk about that in today's show, and I wanted to share with you a few more astrology-related updates here before we get too far into the show and I forget. Monday's episode was about the South Node in Capricorn journey, and that was all about what we're moving through with the South Node, what it's clearing out, how it's basically sweeping clean what we are done with and what we are complete with. So please check out that episode if you want to know more about what is moving through your life and is meant to be over, because that's what the South Node always shows us. I also have posted 2 new videos on YouTube in the past 24 hours. I uploaded for you a video on the January 5th New Moon Solar Eclipse in Capricorn. It's where I walk through the energies of that first solar eclipse, 2019. It's on, as I said, January 5th, potentially the 6th, and it's at 15 degrees of Capricorn. It really starts the new year in a big way, And it's basically our new assignment. It's the first eclipse in Capricorn in a number of years. And so it's really highlighting what your work is, what your assignment is, what you must take seriously. So please check out that video if you want to learn more about that first eclipse of 2019. We have 5 eclipses in 2019. We have 6 eclipses in 2020. So, yes, things are moving and shifting, and the joy ride is going to continue. The roller coaster keeps moving. And then the second video that I've uploaded for you is an explanation on T-squares. And T-squares are pretty common. I've actually had a number of clients with T-squares in their natal astrology chart, and it can be overwhelming. It can be tension. It can be frustration. And it can be really big for you when a portion or a planet in the T-square is triggered or ignited. So check out that video as I go through what it looks like, what it means, some ways of understanding these energies in yourself. Essentially, a T-square is an aspect where all 3 points need to have their space and be respected, but it usually shows up as the lowest expression of each planet or sign first, because there's the fight. There's this sense of I've got to fight for attention. I've got to exert control. I've got to put something out there to be heard because I'm competing with these other planets and points. So the T-square can be frustrating, but when you understand it in yourself, in your life, then you raise your consciousness of your energy and you give yourself time and a process to work with these parts of yourself. So check out that teaching video too. And then one more announcement for you is that I'm going to be releasing a new astrology course soon. It's the Astrology of Relationships, and it's about how your chart works with other people's charts. And this is a more intermediate level astrology course, meaning you need to have a certain understanding of the basics of astrology. You already understand signs, planets, houses, and aspects. And in this course, I take you through different astrology relationships through the lens of astrology. So we talk about business, friendships, family, and then how your energy interacts with other people, specifically in those love relationships or partnerships. So you need to already understand some basics. Otherwise, this could be too much. We talk about, I share with you house rulerships. I introduce to you 2 different types of relationship charts. And I go through different points and areas in your chart that reveal these energies for you. So that will be coming out soon. Everyone on my email list will know about it, and I'll share it with you here on this podcast as well, because I know that so many of you want to understand this within yourself and in your connections with other people. So I've taught this course live a number of times. I've taught it live since 2014. This is the first time it's going to be available on demand, where you can access all the information at once. So, good stuff going on here to help you with your astrology understanding and to keep learning, because there is a lot to learn. And that's what you realize. Like, you come to this understanding your sun sign and then your moon sign and then your ascendant, and then it just opens up into all these other things that you had no idea were in play. But I hope to make it simple for you, and I hope to make it understandable, because I believe this is information that can benefit everyone. So right now, we have Mercury at 29 degrees of Scorpio. And if you've been listening to the show, I've been giving you these story times over the past number of weeks. And so Mercury went back into Scorpio to get more information that he didn't know and details he overlooked. And he made a water grand trine with the North Node in Cancer and with Chiron in Pisces. And so this water grand trine has been in effect for about 10 days, and it's still in effect now, and it's going to change over here in the next 48 hours or so. So depending on when you listen to the show, the water grand trine might be over. But you're meant to understand something in a way that helps you heal more deeply. And to let it go, to let go of a deeper emotional nugget that's been spinning in your head. And you've replayed it and you thought about it a million times and maybe what you should have said or what it felt like or what you understood, and you're meant to let it go. This water grand trine is about the flows and just flowing with it and not letting it become stagnant in your mind or in your heart, because anything that becomes stagnant becomes ice. Right? Stagnant water is ice, and you don't want to have ice in your heart, in your mind, anywhere. So letting something flow, and to be honest with yourself, that's part of the Mercury in Scorpio, is really be honest with yourself about how you feel and to not be afraid of those feelings and to allow yourself to go there, because the more you go there and you allow it to move through you, it clears out. So that's part of this energy. And now we also have Venus. She has returned to Scorpio after her retrograde. And as we talked about during her story time, she is here to move through Scorpio with a new sense of power in herself, in her decisions, in what matters to you, into her, especially her self-worth, and to move through Scorpio claiming her energy, her power, and then she meets up with the various planets along the way. So she's only at 6 degrees of Scorpio right now, and so she is just about ready to get that first dot on her forehead. She's going to meet up with Saturn pretty soon in a number of days, and that will be where she meets up with that Gandalf energy that strengthens her, that gives her that sense of, I'm doing the right thing. This is what's true for me, and I know I'm not alone moving through this. So this is a big time, as both Mercury and Venus are venturing through Scorpio, and there's a new sense of power coming into your perceptions, what you first understood and how you're meant to look at it differently, and how that strengthens you, right? How you just feel a new rising power. And that's the best and highest ways of working with Scorpio energy, is when you keep it within you. You keep that energy within you. You don't disperse it out to other people. You maintain it in yourself, because that is your responsibility. Your choices are your responsibility. Your energy is your responsibility, and your power is your responsibility. So we're getting these lessons in how we're being responsible with ourselves, and that includes our emotions as well. There are 6 planets in water signs right now. 6. That's a lot. So there's a lot up in our emotional selves, in our emotional bodies. This can heighten your intuition. It heightens your feelings. It heightens your ability to tap into what is coming through that isn't of your mind, that isn't of the physical world. So the water energies are meant to move, but they're meant to also support our intuitive development. So you could feel that right now in your own world, in your own life, that you're getting new ways to trust yourself, to trust spirit, to trust the process, to trust what you can't see. How many ways can I say trust? To trust and trust and trust, because that is something that is also our responsibility to develop, honor, and grow. And the North Node in Cancer is giving us this opportunity to understand how coming back into ourselves is the way forward right now, because we've been out in the world and we understand more about our energies through this year. But you bring it home. You bring it back into you. And I feel it in, it's interesting because I feel it part of it in the solar plexus, but I really feel it in the heart, the green chakra, That would connect with the north node in Cancer that is vulnerable. And there's the parts of ourselves that we don't just put out there. We don't just want to share with the world because it could feel vulnerable. But that's also where we strengthen these energies in ourselves. So you might be feeling, this is interesting, a push or a pull that's from your heart, a heart test, if you will, a heart test. And it's a test of not pass or fail, but how much can you go into trusting what feels right for you and not being concerned about anybody else and not being concerned about their reaction, their feelings, what they would perceive, to just be strong enough in what your heart is telling you. And then that's it. That's part of what we're all going to be developing as the North Node continues through Cancer. But all these water energies right now are giving us more tools and more insights in how to work with this and how to understand it. Last week, we did story time about Mars and Pisces, how he is in the boat with no oars, floating on his back, staring up at the sky, and he has no muscle power here. He cannot will it. He cannot force it. He is surrendering to spiritual will. His human will does no good. If he tries to use his human will, he will have defeat or discouragement. And so he's just in this place of the deep, deep surrender and at the same time so protected, so well guided. And that's part of this journey too, is how when we understand these cycles and these energies, we can step into them even more. So this is a time of honoring really a sense of your emotional world might feel bigger or more powerful right now, and that is the gift of this time. It will change in 2019 when Mars reaches that next shore and he jumps out of the boat and he storms the beaches to go off on his next adventure. And it will also shift in February when Chiron is done in Pisces and returns back into Aries. So there's things right now that we're just meant to be in and to be gentle with yourself, to be compassionate, and to be forgiving as needed, whether that is about something that transpired that you didn't want it to play out a certain way, or if there's anything, again, that's spinning in your head or anything that you feel is just weighing on you or weighing on your heart. We are meant to emotionally move through it with trust in our process and to know that it's always worth it. You know, there's always something that comes through and pays off when we're in our authentic energies and we're really allowing each of these phases to unfold as they need to. So I mentioned that there are four planets that are moving on. They are Chiron at 27 degrees, Uranus at 28 degrees of Aries, Neptune at 13 degrees of Pisces, Pluto at 19 degrees of Capricorn. This is what I mean by that. Each of these planets has been covering this territory back and forth for at least a year and a half now. These are the slowest moving planets. If they've been working with you personally through planets or points in your chart, you've been feeling it at a deeper level. You've been required to make changes. In evolutionary astrology, we view it as how everything is showing you your soul's growth in this lifetime. And that's through both the completions of energies that were incomplete, as well as new areas of growth and development in this lifetime that are perhaps challenging at first, but ultimately strengthening. And so we have these four planets that are done with four parts of our charts. And they move at different speeds and they have different timing. So let me explain each one. Chiron went back into Pisces and is at its final last 3 degrees in Pisces, at 27 degrees, and then I'll meet 28 degrees of Pisces, and then 29 degrees, and move back into Aries and stay there for about 7 years. And when so that means we're really finishing up this voyage of the Chiron in Pisces journey. And if you have any planets or points at 27 degrees of Pisces or of the mutable signs, which are Gemini, Virgo, Sagittarius, and Pisces, this energy has been working with you intensely, and it's moving on. But it's been, again, a longer process. It's been a year and a half. This is the last time Chiron will be here for the next 49 years. It'll be back here in 49 years. So there's really a big area of completion with this Chiron in the late degrees of Pisces. Then we have Uranus, who has come back into Aries and is at 28 degrees of Aries, where he will hang out until January. He stations direct January 7th and moves forward in back into Taurus in March of 2019. But Uranus takes 84 years to move through all the astrology signs. So he's hanging out here at 28 degrees of Aries, December and January. So 2 months at this one point in your chart. And then he moves to 29 degrees in February, and then he moves out. He's done with Aries for the next 84 years. So it's the last time in your life that Uranus is going to be at this place in your chart. And if you have any planets or points at 28 degrees of Aries or in the cardinal signs, which are Aries, Cancer, Libra, Capricorn, this Uranus energy is breaking you out, breaking you free, and really asking you to be yourself, really making sure you're strong in that part of you. And then he moves on. And he won't be back. Then we have Neptune, who stationed direct at 13 degrees of Pisces. And that was in November, the end of November. And now Neptune is moving on from 13 degrees of Pisces, which is a point that he's slowly been moving back and forth across all this year. And in 2017, he was at 13 degrees as well. Now he's moving away from 13 degrees and finally gets to 14 degrees and into 15 degrees in 2019. So he'll never be back at this 13-degree point in Pisces again. And that is relevant if you have any planets or points at 13 degrees of the mutable signs. Again, that's Gemini, Virgo, Sagittarius, Pisces. So he's moving on. And then finally Pluto at 19 degrees of Capricorn has been at this point in your chart for at least a year as well, closer to about a year and a half, and is finally moving away from 19 degrees of Capricorn and moving in to 20 degrees by the middle of this month, so in just a few days, and then is venturing forth in 2019 into 23 degrees of Capricorn, and then we'll do a retrograde dance back to 20 degrees. So because Pluto's the slowest moving and requires the deepest change and requires you to really evolve and transform and do the work, he'll never be back at this 19-degree point either. So that's why this is significant, because December really is this changing over of parts of you that have moved on, that are ready to move on, that have evolved. And sometimes when we're in it, we don't always feel it. But that's what's happening, is that at a bigger cosmic level, these planets will never be at these points in your chart again. And there really is something that's changed within you over the past year and a half that you might not fully grasp or see or comprehend until early 2019. But we're done. There's four areas of life that are done, four energies. So understand that that's part of what December is showing us, and where we're meant to, again, always honor how we've grown, how we've healed, and what we've learned about ourselves along the way. So on that note, it's a good segue to the story time with Jupiter in Sagittarius, and to talk about this journey that Jupiter is in from now until late 2020, December 2020 and beyond. Jupiter spends 1 year in every astrological sign, so it takes 12 years to move around the full zodiac. And oftentimes during that year, it can be longer, by the way, it can be, there's been times, like for example, when he was in Aries, it was a really quick trip and then went right into Taurus, but usually it's a year. And he goes retrograde once during the period of each astrology sign, and he is showing us what we are here to learn. And so I think of Jupiter as a Renaissance man. And it's the biggest planet, so he is the biggest guy. And that can be whatever you visualize, somebody very tall, somebody very strong, somebody very big or wide, whatever you visualize. I just visualize someone who's very, very tall and very clear in his energy. And we call it, I call him a he because Jupiter is ruled by Sagittarius, which is a masculine fire sign. So that's why we call that planet a he. And this is an energy of growing, learning. And so think of a Renaissance man always trying to explore, understand, hone in on new skills, new knowledge, seek and explore. And Jupiter wants to go big. It wants to keep going. It's a restless energy typically. But as Jupiter moves through each astrological sign, the energy changes. So right now, Jupiter is at 7 degrees of Sagittarius, and he is just getting comfortable in his home turf. If you listen to the story time with Venus in Scorpio, that was the November 28th episode, by the way, if you want to go back and listen. Jupiter is in Sagittarius at the party and surrounded by friends and good times and a lot of food and maybe a lot of drinks, because he's that go big energy and that laugh loud energy. And so he's the one in the party with the loudest laugh, the most food, the most friends, knows everyone, and is just looking for this good time. And you put it into perspective that after Jupiter went through Scorpio, there were a lot that came up in that Scorpio journey, a lot of fears, a lot of things to understand and to be in, to feel, a lot that he had to deal with, a lot that had to be really dug into. Because Scorpio is an intense water sign, and there is passion, and there is emotional intensity, and there's a lot that's hidden that we must learn from. So Jupiter went through Scorpio and learned a lot that he didn't see before, that he needed to understand. And the way that I visualize this is that because Jupiter is a Renaissance man, he has this huge library. And this huge library is filled with books. And every book is what he learned in each sign. So he has a book where he wrote down his knowledge of the Jupiter in Scorpio 2017 to 2018 journey. He takes that book and he puts it on the shelf in his library. And it's one of those libraries with the really cool ladders that glide along the top because there's so many shelves. Everything is stacked 10 feet high. And it's just a vast wealth of information and knowledge. So Jupiter, the Renaissance man, he knows a lot because he's been out in the world. And he goes out into the world, but to do so in a way that brings it home to people, ultimately, where they can benefit from this growth and this wealth of knowledge as well. So now Jupiter in Sagittarius is starting this new book about what he's inspired to learn. Now, one of the things about Jupiter, however, is that what he has to work on is moderation. He doesn't moderate. He doesn't say no. He doesn't cut back or trim down. He tackles too much or he goes too far. And so at times, he can be quite argumentative, and he can be quite opinionated, and he can be the know-it-all, because look at his library. He's done everything. He's seen it all. He's studied everything, except there's always more to study. So when he comes back to Sagittarius, he has to look at, well, what do I want to do next? What is the next call? What is the next call to adventure? Because I'm ready for that next call after being in that Scorpio cave. And so in your chart, this is Jupiter in Sagittarius asking you, what are you ready to learn? Where are you ready to grow or expand? What gets you excited? What is interesting? And it requires you to get out of your home or your local environment and to go out and seek and go out into the world. And so it's associated with foreign travel, internationalism, global affairs, anything with the world, anything with different viewpoints, cultures, belief systems. This is the going big in the energies of the world. Taking that class that you always wanted to do, or something new you wanted to try, and now it could be, I have the energy, I have the time. So Jupiter in Sagittarius is here to collect new information that has a happiness to it, has a sense of, this just feels good, and I'm going to trust it. And I'm going to allow what I learn to support my belief in myself. Jupiter in Sagittarius is very independent. And so he's done with the party. He's the last one to leave. He's, you know, high-fived everyone, said goodbye to everyone as they've left. And, I mean, he's not cleaning up or anything. He's not Virgo, don't get me wrong. But he's the last party-goer to leave. So he leaves the party, and he feels restless. And he's like, oh, I don't want to go back home. There's just so much to do in the world. I'm going to get on the next flight, and I'm going to Tokyo, or I'm going to New Zealand, or I'm going to Greenland. Like, he wants to go somewhere he hasn't been. And this is meant to open you up to where you have felt locked in, locked down, or stuck. Because there's a whole world out there to understand, to experience, and this is an opening up energy of just trusting it. And Jupiter in Sagittarius doesn't plan. He just shows up at the airport and believes it's all going to work out. And not only is it going to work out, he's going to be upgraded to first class and all his champagne is free. And so that's kind of this collective energy where things can happen easier. There can be easier manifestations, easier flow, because we're meant to be growing. And this is Jupiter's home energy in Sagittarius, and he only gets to be in this home turf once every 12 years. So he has that sense of, I have to make the most of this. I have to seize the day, and I have to say yes to opportunities, to invitations, to where the energy flows. I also have to look at what I believe in myself and how I believe in the very best of myself. Now, Jupiter might be a Renaissance man, but all of us are living our lives based on our belief systems and what we have unconsciously learned from others. So Jupiter in Sagittarius is asking you to look at this in your own chart and in your own life. What have you learned that maybe is no longer in resonance? It's not in alignment. It isn't your truth. Because now Jupiter in Sag is on a plane for finding the truth that resonates for him now. We have different truths throughout our lives. When you were 10, you had one truth about what you wanted to be when you grew up. When you were 25, you had a different truth. When you were 37, when you were 48, and on and on. So truth evolves. And we're meant to look at what am I believing in myself, but what is true for me right now. And wherever this Sagittarius energy is for you, it's asking you to look at what is correct and to stay open. One of the other areas that Jupiter in Sagittarius can struggle is that because he has this wealth of knowledge and all these library books, he just thinks there's nothing new to learn. And he could unintentionally lock himself away in his library of knowledge and not take in any more information and just basically retire and say, well, I know everything. I've got it all figured out. Oh, no, that's wrong. No, that's wrong. Actually, you're wrong. You're wrong and I'm right. Sagittarius energy has historically related to religion and, again, belief systems and how we believe the world is and how we believe it should be and then what religion brings into those conversations. And so with religion, there can be openings and there can be closings, right? There can be separations of you have to believe what we believe or you're wrong. Many people have had that experience. Or you believe what you believe and I believe what I believe and we're both right. So this is part of the energy that comes up. And so Jupiter in Sagittarius, he decided he's not going to lock himself in his ivory tower library and he's going to keep learning. We keep learning through each other and through our experiences. We go out into the world to have new experiences. So he's on the plane. And actually, it turns out it's one of those round-trip, around-the-world flights that stops on every continent. Have you heard about those? Where you stop once on each continent, and you then board the plane and keep going to the next continent. That's what Jupiter in Sag is doing, because he's going to stay open to what's happening right now. And what can I learn that I just wasn't aware of? Because he has this new book to write. So he's going on this big adventure, and his around-the-world global trip will last until 2019, obviously, because he's going to be in this energy for a year. For those of you who are asking me, when does he go retrograde? I'm going to tell you that he goes retrograde at 24 degrees of Sagittarius, April 11th, and stays retrograde back to 14 degrees of Sagittarius until August 12th, so 14 degrees. So 24 degrees to 14 degrees, so he has his layovers on his world flight, and he has to repack or change his itinerary, and then he goes direct, again, August 12th at 14 degrees Sag. Then all his flights line up. He keeps circling the globe. He makes these cool discoveries. He walks to different villages. He's a nomad. And you can't reach him, so don't try to text him because he's not going to respond. He doesn't care anyways. He just wants to keep going into these different places that he's never seen before. And so he's going to climb some new mountains. He's going to wade through some of the swampy waters near the Amazon. He's going to keep venturing into new territories. Maybe he's going to climb Mount Kilimanjaro. Maybe he's going to take an amazing bath in the saltwater springs. You know, he's just going to keep moving. You can't reach him. He's on the move. And he's just collecting all these stories. He's writing them down. Maybe you'll see him in a bush plane flying over Kenya, right? It's just like there's just a lot to do in the world. But if he goes too fast or too far, he gets sick. He gets overwhelmed, and he needs a break. So he needs the quiet and the peace of just sitting in the forest as well and just listening to the trees. And maybe he's in the Big Sur, California, with the giant, oh, gosh, I just forgot the name of the trees. You know what I'm talking about, the gorgeous giant Big Sur trees. He's just in it, right? He's just in it for being in the moment. So this is important, is to have all of this experiences and to stay open to what life can bring you and what you're meant to understand. Because in December 2019, Jupiter then enters Capricorn. And that happens December 3rd, 2019. And it turns out that's when he's in New York. His worldwide flight is over. He gets off the airplane. He's walking through JFK. He gets in a taxi, goes to Saks Fifth Avenue, and he's like, I better find a good suit. He puts on his suit, and now he's in Capricorn, and he has to say no to all the things he really wants to do and step into a new role that requires him to be very clear about what he has to commit to after all this knowledge, wisdom, and experiences he's obtained. So now he's realized he has all these journals with all these stories and cool people and the cultures and the, you know, crazy mishaps. And so he has to get down to business with this and make it something tangible and useful. Now, Jupiter struggles in Capricorn because he has to cut out the fat and say no and be committed and focused and sit at the desk and develop a routine for success, if you will, so that he can make something out of all this information and stories he's accumulated. So he uses that for his books, for his teachings, and he's able to basically step into a role that allows him to formalize his knowledge. And this is important because this energy starts at the end of 2019 and goes all throughout 2020, which is when we have these other big Capricorn energies. So Jupiter's in Capricorn when Saturn is in Capricorn, Pluto is in Capricorn, South Node is in Capricorn, eclipses are in Capricorn. And this is where he adds more to the story because, again, Jupiter wants to be happy, wants to be positive, wants to bring something cheerful to the table. And so he sits down at this Capricorn boardroom table, and he's trying to add in more than Saturn or Pluto are contributing. He's trying not to be so dang serious. And yeah, he's in his suit, but you can't see his socks, right? Like he has on the crazy wild orange socks. And this is where he makes it tangible for others. He has a way of giving something to a higher purpose than himself. Because after you accumulate all this knowledge and wisdom, well, you can't just keep it locked away in a library. You've got to make that library public and open and put it into some kind of system that allows others to access and benefit from it. So just a bit of a preview of Jupiter in Capricorn wants to now make money. He wants to be recognized. He wants his status to be known. I mean, he just flew all the way around the world, so he wants to be in the higher tier of these airline mileage plans. You know, he wants to be the MVP. And so there are things that he wants to see results. And that's what his work is when he's in Capricorn, is to look at what he can do with everything he has accumulated. How can it be used for greater mastery? And how can he hone in on specifics that bring about a new sense of success? So he has to focus in Capricorn. And he's going to meet up with both Saturn and Pluto in Capricorn. And they will test him. And they will bring about something that is pivotal and something that can't be ignored, because Jupiter is the biggest thing. You can't ignore Jupiter. You can't ignore the biggest man in the room, right? You can't ignore these messages or what's happening. So Jupiter in Capricorn will be conjunct Pluto, and this is going to happen at about 23 to 24 degrees of Capricorn. And then Jupiter will also be conjunct Saturn in Capricorn in 2020. And that brings about a seriousness, a potential turning point in what is real and what matters in priorities and commitments. And all three of these planets in Capricorn are going to be figuring things out. And it's often no, no, no is the first thing that Capricorn says. Because if there's too much on the table, nothing gets done. But there's also a sense that things are going to get done because there's a real commitment. So all this Capricorn energy is going to change things in a pivotal, serious way. And you'll hear a lot about that. I know I've already shared with you two podcasts on the 2020 energies. Then Jupiter is meant to expand these changes. It's meant to bring in something beneficial, typically, but Jupiter in Capricorn isn't always beneficial right away. It's signing the agreements and the contracts for the long term and making sure that your rewards are included and what you need is included. And then over the course of time, you see those Jupiter benefits show up. That's one way that Jupiter in Capricorn works, is that it's not immediate. Things play out over time. And then 2020 ends on a very interesting note, because December 2020, both Jupiter and Saturn are going to be conjunct in Aquarius at 0 degrees and then 1 degree. And this is a beginning point for something new for the collective, something that's made real. It's a bigger vision. It could be something completely out of the blue, something avant-garde that we can't even think about or conceptualize just yet, but it's forming, it's coming together, because when Jupiter and Saturn are conjunct in Aquarius, the forward-thinking rebel, the revolutionary, something switches. Jupiter and Saturn make it real and big. And it's in Aquarius, which is about humanity, the collective, what we're doing together, how we're all in this together. It can be uniting. It can be rebellious. It can be revolutionary. It can be that sense of what changes permanently that are meant to set us on a new trajectory. So Jupiter moves from being in his suit and tie and orange socks and steps into being more of this revolutionary, I feel as a scientist, who is understanding the bigger picture. And Aquarius is about metaphysics, including astrology and esoteric wisdom. It's something beyond what we understand. It's the quantum field. It's all of this together, all this energy, all this understanding, and how we use it differently now. And so Jupiter moves into Aquarius and has a sense of a new vision that can happen quickly, that can happen one of those moments where, ding, I've got it. I know what this is. I know what we could do. I know where we can expand together. And at the same time, he's checking in with Saturn, who says, well, I don't know if we're going to expand, we have to work for it. This isn't just going to be easy. The Jupiter-Saturn conjunctions are interesting because they're conflicting energies. Ones go big and ones go small. One makes it easy. One makes you put in the work. So you have to work for the results, and you have to stay the course, but you have the energy or the sense of willpower to stay the course and to stay committed. So they work together in Aquarius to bring about a new vision. And now I'm seeing Atlantis, like the towers of Atlantis, and that there could be something that's understood. We're living in a new time period. It's that sense of we're never going to have that experience again. We're different. We're new. It's a different time. And so what do we need to create a new experience for humanity together? And Jupiter in Aquarius is very intellectual and smart and genius and scientist and also his own person and doesn't need to fit in to the crowd. So this is kind of a juicy time because Jupiter's moving through these outer astrology signs that are about the bigger picture. Sagittarius, Capricorn, and Aquarius, the bigger picture of what we're learning, what we're formalizing, and where we're going, and brings in the support to do so, brings in the wisdom, and brings in what he's learned through previous cycles, because he can always go back to that wealth of information in his library to review what did I learn last time I was here, and what was it about, and what can I do now to take it forward. So the Jupiter energy is going to keep us remembering what matters, to look at where things can click. It keeps us in alignment with timing, of course, and that it's going to be time for things to change in a big way, but we can also have some really cool new solutions. Jupiter in Aquarius is also technology and how to use it in a way that benefits people, as well as how we can be responsible with technology. That's also the conjunction with Saturn in Aquarius. So Jupiter's on a big adventure, and he's boarding that flight, and he's taking off on his adventure, and he's ready to experience the world and to collect what he needs, but he knows where he's come from, and that can help him going forward. So in your chart, pay attention to these cycles of Jupiter that happen once every 12 years, and you'll be able to connect some dots for yourself, especially as Jupiter makes conjunctions to any planets or points in your chart. So I think we'll call it good here with today's show, and thank you so much, friends, for joining me. I appreciate your energy, time, and presence as always. I also appreciate those of you who make time to listen to this podcast live. It's live every Monday and Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time. And I wish you a beautiful week ahead as we move through the next 7 degrees of Sagittarius. I'll meet up with you again on Monday, December 17th, and then on December 19th for our next shows. Thank you for being here. Have a beautiful week, and I'll speak with you soon. Take good care.